Page 290. Sariputta's humility. The humility of Tera Sariputta is exemplary. With the Buddha's permission, Sariputta and Moggallana once set out to visit towns and villages. Seeing Sariputta accompanied by many monks, a certain bhikkhu became envious, and just to obstruct their journey, he reported to the Lord that Sariputta bumped against him, but went on his way without making an apology. In fact, he made this charge just because of an accidental brush with the end of the Tera's robe. Thereupon, the Buddha summoned Sariputta, and in the assembly of the Sangha, the Lord asked him about the monk's allegation. Sariputta's reply was as follows. A bhikkhu who is unmindful of his physical body may bump against his fellow bhikkhu and go on his way without an apology. But I regard myself as mud on the earth. What the Tera meant is this. Many things, both clean and unclean, are thrown onto the earth. But the earth accepts everything without complaint or revulsion. So also, what others may say or do, he exercises restraint. Furthermore, he regards himself as water, fire or air. Just as these elements remain unaffected by dirty things, so also he forbears whatever others may say or do to him. Moreover, he regards himself as a low caste young man or woman. Caste is very important in India. A low caste, Chandala, must not touch a high caste Brahmin. So when a Chandala goes into the village of Brahmins, he has to announce his coming by beating with a stick, thereby warning the villagers against physical contact with him. Sariputta says that he has the kind of humility that characterizes the Chandala's way of life. Again, a bull with a broken horn does not molest any living being and is gentle. He, Sariputta, regards himself as that bull. He loathes his body just as a young man or a woman who has bathed and adorned himself would loathe a dead dog or dead snake hanging round his or her neck. He sees his body as a burden which he has to bear, as a burden that is like a pot of animal fat that is leaking through many holes. Then the accusing monk was smitten with conscience and he apologized to Sariputta for his wrong allegation. The latter forgave him and even told him not to take his reply amiss. We should emulate Sariputta's example as far as possible. Even if we cannot overcome pride, we should try to overcome excessive conceit. This conceit, atimana, is of two kinds, namely, conceit arising from possession of certain qualities such as intelligence, knowledge, moral character, etc., and conceit due to illusion of a quality which one does not have, as when one wrongly considers oneself intelligent or noble. Ordinary persons are not free from these two kinds of conceit. We should seek to do away with the conceit due to illusion. It becomes extinct at the Sotapatti stage. But even then, the yogi is not yet free from conceit over the real possession of a quality. It is rooted out only on the attainment of arahatship. Indocility, dovachasata. Docility is one of the qualities which the Buddha enjoined on his followers because it helps to lessen defilements. Many people are far from docile. They do not care for the advice of their teachers and superiors. Some children disobey their parents. Some pupils disobey their teachers. Some disobey their superiors or leaders, and some ignore the advice of their friends. Arrogant, strong-willed, and impulsive, they are notorious for their intractability. Charges of disobedience against some persons stem from ill will, and so they are not to blame for their attitude of mind. What is important is to heed the advice that is rational and motivated by love and compassion. Moreover, we should follow the teaching that tells us not to molest others. A person who regards sound advice is termed a dubacca, intractable person. The bhikkhu who was especially notorious in this respect in the time of the Buddha was Channa. Bhikkhu Channa was not an ordinary person. He was Prince Siddhartha's attendant who accompanied the Bodhisattva when the latter set out to become an ascetic. Later on, he joined the holy order. He did not live in accordance with the Vinaya rules, and so he was taken to task by his fellow monks. But he would not welcome their admonition. He retorted that he was not an ordinary bhikkhu, that he was the personal attendant of Bodhisattva when he renounced the world, that he went along with the prince as far as the bank of Anoma River, and that he served the needs of the prince at that time. As the veteran follower of the Buddha, he would not heed the advice of upstarts like Sariputta and Moggallana. This led the Buddha to lay down a rule. And what the rule says about admonition to a fellow monk in the Sangha is very remarkable. If a monk turns out to be willful and disobedient when he is reasonably admonished by his fellow monks, they should say to him thus, "Sir, do not regard yourself as above the admonition of your fellow monks. Consider yourself to be in need of admonition. Admonish other monks if necessary. Other monks will admonish you on occasion. Mutual admonition will contribute to the prosperity of the Buddha Dhamma." But Bhikkhu Channa remained intractable. So he did not attain enlightenment until the Buddha passed away. After the Lord's Parinibbana, the Sangha imposed the penalty called Brahma Danda on him, as instructed by the Master. The penalty called upon the bhikkhus to let Channa say what he liked and to avoid admonishing or speaking to him. The penalty brought Channa to his senses. He realized how social ostracism would be disastrous to him. He ceased to be arrogant, practiced the Dhamma faithfully, and at last became an arahat.